Thank you.
Thank you, my father. You're always inspiring us, instructing us in righteousness. But we're doing these not meant to do. Thank you, my father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we've begun or we're continuing with a series on living for Christ, particularly in times like this. So I'm still dealing on that series. An aspect of living for Christ that you also know about is learning to give honor. That's what I'll be dealing on today. Learning to give honor. Praise God. A very popular scripture, Ephesians chapter 6.
Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Since children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Move on. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words,
to honor your parents, to honor your father and your mother, comes with a promise. It comes with a covenant of promise. Go ahead. And what is that promise? That promise is that it might be well with thee.
Thou mayest live long on it. Move up to verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just read it from could I get the goodness translation? Let's see the goodness translation.
From verse 1, Ephesians. Children, what is now? Children, it is your Christian duty to obey your parents. For this is the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to obey your parents.
Move on. Respect your father and your mother is the first commandment that has a promise added to it. So one of the first commandments,
and there are several commandments that has promise added to them. A typical one is submit yourself to the Lord. Then it says what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Many try to resist and submitted to the Lord. So you see, a promise added to that commandment.
So he says, Respect your father and your mother. It is the first commandment that has a promise added. Move on. So that all may go well with you, and you may live a long time in the land. There are individuals who have cut short their lives
by being recalcitrant, being boastful, being disobedient to their parents. Now, if you study God's word from Ephesians chapter 5, you find that he was dealing with Christian conduct, the life of a Christian. And so in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Verse 2 deals with, so verse 1 deals with spiritual authority. Verse 2 deals with the physical world, your biological parents. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. For this is right. For this is right. How do you relate with your parents in the Lord? You see, when you talk about your parents in the Lord, these ones begot you. They raised you. Sometimes by divine orchestration, you are brought under some spiritual authority. So those people that you are brought under become your parents in the Lord.
God designed it to be so. Every authority, the Bible says, is ordained of God. Every authority, ordained of God. He designed it. He planned it. So he looks at you and says, for this time, I want you to be under this person. Why? Because there are benefits that you would get from being under the tutelage of that person. There are things you must learn. Even if that parent or that person is a wicked leader, remember, God is not raising you for now alone, He's raising you for the future. And so, in the future, He's preparing you now ahead of time to deal with wicked folks. But many fight authority, many resist authority. It's not to their advantage. You must understand that when God is going to demand a report for your performance, He won't come to you.
Even if that parent or that person is a wicked leader.
Oftentimes,
He speaks to the one He has placed under you, or over you, rather. Did you ever read the story of Samuel visiting the house of Jesse to anoint a king? And something very, very interesting happened. When Samuel came into Jesse's house, and he was talking with him, and so he said, bring your sons. The first son appeared. What's his name? Who remembers his name? Say again. Eliab. Thank you. And when Eliab appeared, the guy said, Saul said, brought out the oil. He said, oh, behold, the Lord's anointed is here. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? He said, oh, behold, the Lord's anointed is here. He took out the oil and wanted to anoint him king. What did God say? God spoke. Says, no, don't anoint him king. For I have rejected him. No, think about it. Do you reject what you didn't consider? That means God looked at Eliab and considered Eliab to be king of Israel. But for certain character over of his life, he rejected him, he put him aside. This one is not fit to be king. Question: did God tell Eliab that I have rejected you? God didn't tell Eliab.
that I considered you to be king earlier. I considered you to be king, but I have rejected you. He didn't talk to Eliab. He didn't talk to Eliab's father. He spoke to his servants. He spoke to his servants. He spoke to the one he's given authority over. He says, don't anoint him king, for I have rejected him. Can I ask you something? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Would that be it?
Yep.
Now read this. I want to go. Obey them that have the rule over you. Did you see that? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? When he says submit yourself, what do you have? A semicolon. It gives you a reason to submit yourself. It says, why? For they watch over your soul. Hey, these guys, you think they are just your leaders? They are not just your leaders. The pastor is not just your pastor. There is something beyond being a pastor, beyond preaching on the pulpit. He stands the gap. He sees things ahead of time. He may not even tell you, but he deals with them ahead of time. It says, for the watch over your soul, as they that must give accounts. It says, they watch over your soul, as they that must give accounts. That people see, what does that mean? Like the one who's going to give a report over you. If anything happens to you, God will not hold you responsible most of the time. The one he's placed over you. But if he has warned you, just like he says to Ezekiel, warn them, son of man. He says, if you fail to warn them, I will demand their blood from your hands. But if you warn them and they refuse to listen, he says, their blood will I require from their own hands. So, he says, they watch over your soul. Do you know what it means to watch over your soul? Just the day a dragon will want to take over your soul, he sees ahead of time, and so you stop that mess. And then you are just continuing your life. You don't even know what has happened to you. And that's why you must show honor. See, don't treat their... Says, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Says, if they do it with grief, it says, that's unprofitable for you. You don't understand. It says, if they do it with grief, yourself that talks to you, you are too big. You are too weak to be the cell leader. He says, that's unprofitable for you. Oh, you have more qualification than the cell leader. The cell leader is just a school staff holder.
Or an OLD holder. You have a BSc, you have an MSc, you are about acquiring a professional degree. But it is not about qualifications here. God qualified him and put him ahead of you for the now of your life. For the now of your life, why not submit? Your qualifications, your earthly qualifications do not matter. He says, if you talk him down because you probably think you have more money than he, it's unprofitable for you. You don't understand. You get to learn to be humble. Some individuals don't know that they are proud. If you ever try to ask, am I proud? Am I a proud person? You are proud. I'm telling you now. You are proud. The failure to consider that you cannot take instruction. No, I just must tell him my mind. You don't have a mind. When it comes to, you don't have a, because if you have a mind that God can talk to you, that made you the leader. I must tell him my mind. I cannot just keep quiet. Oh, it's not about being speech. See, when Paul came, Paul says, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. Don't you understand? So the speech, the grammar don't matter. Don't matter. It says, for save for Jesus shall him crucify. It's the personality of Jesus we're talking about.
I should be found in you. Particularly when it comes to spiritual matters. You are proud if the word of God becomes common to you. You are proud if you cannot take correction from God's word. You are proud if that leader cannot talk to you and cannot give you a simple direction. You are proud. You are proud. If you cannot take instruction from the office of the pastor, you are proud. You are proud. But you see, I can show you some scriptures. Let me show you some scriptures about. Are you? Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Let's look at the NIV. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Read this. One to go, everyone. When pride comes, then comes what? Hello? Did you read that? When pride comes, then comes what? Disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. It happens everywhere. Here, you see, we were not only dealing with spiritual authority. Some of you have become so proud and you demonstrate pride to your own biological parents or your parents-in-law or to your siblings. You demonstrate, you know, they talk to you and pride exudes from you. And so, guess what? They are watching you. They are watching you. They try to counsel you, say nobody must talk to me. You know, there is an Igbo adage. I don't know how to say it in Igbo language, but I'll tell you, I can interpret it for you. It says, the man who says, nobody can talk to me, nobody can talk to me, nobody should talk to me, nobody should talk to me. And nobody will also talk to him the day he carries poo-poo on the body. They will all just be watching. How many of you know what I'm talking about now? Nobody wants to talk to him. So, they are afraid to talk to you. No, think about it. If every time they want to call you, they see what comes to their mind. Let me call him. But I don't know what he will say to me now. They are always very careful to call you. Then you are proud. And you know. You know. How much money do you think you have? What is money if it cannot benefit those around you? So talk to me. Maybe that proverb was not enough. With pride comes disgrace. When pride comes, Proverbs 22, another one. Proverbs 22, NIV, verse 4. Read this, one to go. Humility and the fear of the Lord brings what? Wealth, honor and life. In other words, if you are not humble, what is the opposite of wealth? Poverty. What is the opposite of honor? Disgrace. And what is the opposite of life? Death. In other words, the one that is proud, what he gets is what? Poverty. What he gets is disgrace. What he gets is death. And suddenly, his finances dies. Everything that gives him life, that makes him pompous, dies. Suddenly, he has become small. Suddenly, he has become negligible. He no longer matters at all. He no longer matters at all. I'll show you another one. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. I want you to notice the language. 1 Peter 5, 5. Can we read together? It says, young men, in the same way. Okay, go back to verse 4. Let's begin from verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, And he's talking about Jesus. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Go ahead, young men. In the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Be submissive. Now, this is not talking about only spiritual. Also the gray-headed. Those who are your senior by one day. It says, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with what? Clothe yourself with what? In other words, be dressed with humility. Be dressed with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You don't understand. God, do you know what it means to oppose? To stand against. No, you want to make progress, God is standing against you. You try to go this way, he goes this way. You try to come this way, he goes this way. God becomes the bouncer. You want to gain access, he bounces you out. You're trying to go make progress, he gives you this way. He opposes you. Now your qualification doesn't matter at all. Those who you thought you were your network of friends, your cliques, they don't want to see you anymore. The glory is gone. Why? Because you are proud. Pride is dirty. Let it not be found in you. Be humble to receive spiritual instruction. Be humble to receive even godly counsel. Be humble because those who are older than you. It's one of the ways to live for Christ. Maybe you don't understand. I showed you first Peter 5, right? Be humble. Put that first Peter to the 5. Let's look at it from the Amplified. I want you to see that. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Now, read this. It says, likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank. What does that mean? You are a Bible study class teacher. Or Bible study class teacher. He said that he's talking to you. You will not listen. You will not listen. You will not be seen. You are the head usher. Head usher. But then you report to a PCD leader. Now the preacher is talking to you. He said, this is my ushering pattern and I call the shots. He says, you who are of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church. Giving them what? Some of you, Pastor Luke. No, because he laughs. So you say, you open your eye. Hey, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. He will not tell you. I look to God that you are. God opens your eyes to see when you do things like that. How grace suddenly eludes you. That's what happens. Because he resists the proud, but disgrace to the humble. It says, giving them due respect. No, in our days while we're growing up, we will carry our leader's Bible. We are not ashamed about it. What is happening today? Your leader is holding the Bible. You are still okay. You even have the right to tell me, hey, brother, please help me. Let me hold this. Let me place my sheep. You will tell, help me hold this Bible. Let me place my sheep. Now there's the shoe. He's carrying it. You see, hey, brothers, you just continue discovering. He's holding your Bible. I feel so sorry for you. If I want to lace my shoe, I will carry his own Bible and carry on. I will put my own on the floor. I don't mind to put this on my head. It must not even drop. That's the training I receive. No, what is it? It's giving them due respect. And yielding to what? Their counsel. They talk to you. Whether you think you know. You know, education makes you some people stupid. It gives them too many things to know. And that's why doctors find it difficult to receive healing. This is how we manage people. No, how did Jesus manage people when before the Red Sea? No, he did crowd control for them. I think it's my book. No, what it says now, he says, give them due respect and yield to their counsel. He says, close, apron yourself, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you. It says, with freedom from pride and arrogance. It says, towards one another. For God, that's what I want to see. Read it. Read that line. It says, for God sets himself against the proud. In other words, God by himself, use himself as a weapon to you. Because you are proud. I for this course, I like that song. Who can battle with the Lord? Who can battle with the Lord? Who can battle? Because you have to battle with God. He says, for God sets himself against the proud. Not only the proud, he says the proud. The insolent. The overbearing. They can't talk to you. Your body will be doing like this. Your body will be doing like this. You want to react. I want to give you the peace of my mind. The disdainful. The presumptuous. The boastful. I will show you. In this court, I will show you. God sets himself against him. And what he opposes. Now watch it. To set himself, he opposes, he frustrates. You don't understand. Not only does he oppose you, if somebody even tries to help you, you will see the person helping you, but you spoil. He will frustrate the help. He frustrates. He opposes, he frustrates, and defeats. No, you don't understand. And defeats. So you can never win this battle. And defeats them. But gives grace, favor, and blessing. Hallelujah. To the humble. So what does it cost you to be humble? No, talk to me. What does it cost you to be humble? Myself, I cannot speak very good English. So I have to correct him all the time. Correct it. Incorrectly, you must embarrass him. He says, everybody gather. That's where you want to stand up. Because you want him to talk. You cannot come to the house. Didn't you read the Bible that let everything be done orderly in the house of the Lord? It says, when you come to church, sit down. When you sit down, you so dimly. That's when you want to ease yourself. That's when you want to go. That's when you want to take a call. You can no longer sit down. Even some of you watching me right now, you cannot discipline yourself to sit down and listen to the sermon, to sit down and participate in the service. It's pride. It's part of pride.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. First, you want to say a big thank you.
It says, but gives grace to the humble. He 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 gives grace to the humble. I want to show you in the scripture. We're talking about living for Christ. Colossians 3, verse 12.
Give
it to us in the NIV. NIV. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with compassion. Even talking about compassion, 4 weeks you have been home, but you have been spending from your savings. You have been feeding. Some of you have never considered your parents, 8 parents, who now cannot do anything, but you have more contacts, you have more networks than them. No compassion. You don't care whether they feed. You don't care how they survive. Not even a phone call. I challenge you, in this 4 weeks, how many of you can boldly say, you have reached out to your parents, these 4 weeks, you have reached out to them, with something to them. It's not, I don't abuse them, I don't insult them. But do you reach out to them? Compassion moves people. It does move people. Do you understand the prayers that will come from their spirit? Don't you understand? Why when Isaac was to bless Jacob, or rather Esau, before Jacob stole the blessing, what did he say to Esau? He could have just said, "Dear, let me bless you." He says, "Go prepare me the venison that I might eat, that my soul may delight, and I will bless you." In other words, the blessings, the pronouncement of blessing, will come from my inside to you. Do you know the words that comes from your inside when you're glad in your heart? Some of them, they even call you. You're like, "Yeah, okay, I heard you. I'll see what I can do." It's your language. They know it. It's your language. "I'll see what I can do." And you, for the past 2 weeks, you never see what you can do. Didn't you read the Bible? Go to Galatians. Galatians 5, chapter 6. Read verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. "As we therefore have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men." All men. Parents inclusive. Parents inclusive. All men, especially those who are. Go backwards. Go backwards. I want to show you something. Verse 6. 6 verse 6. Go back to verse 6. Verse 6. "Let him that is taught in the world communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in life." In life. "Communicate to him that teacheth." Your parents raised you, put you in life, helped you achieve the things you have achieved. And then you grow old and neglect. That's not the right way to behave. That's not the character of a Christian. That's not the character of a Christian. Are you still here? Listen, learn to be a man of peace. Learn it. Consciously develop that attitude that I must be a man of peace. Don't be that one. What you do is thank God they have left. Plan it. Learn to be a man of peace. humble yourself. Did you ever recite that old poem? I think I did it in primary school, primary 5 or 6. It says, he that is down needs fear no fall. He that is low. No, think, I'm already down. Will I be thinking of falling? I'm standing already. If I'm on this place, I should think of coming down. He that is down needs fear no fall. No, what would you say to me that will be an insult to me? Nothing. 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 Why? They said worse things to Jesus. That's my, you know, they did, what, did you, I saw something on Sunday. It says, they count it as joy to be persecuted for Christ's sake. They count it as joy. Praise God. So I said, learn to be a man of peace. It's a conscious step. It's a deliberate attempt, a deliberate effort to be a man of peace. You plan it. You deliberately seek it. Your life, whether based on, don't care whether people recognize you or not. They must recognize you. See, if you begin to expect too much, that's when you get offended. You are expecting. They didn't. You're offended. It's offended. Something. Oh, it's my birthday. The pastor must call me. And then he's expecting. The phone rings. Must be pastor. He's not pastor. Must be pastor. Now 24 hours gone. Pastor Lincoln. They are offended with the church. A whole me. They never see themselves as. They didn't call me. Then who would they now call? Expect nothing.